الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يدلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي درو شیخ والے Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, when every policy of the people of Makkah failed in preventing the spread of Islam, the Quraysh decided to impose a social boycott upon the Muslimin and especially the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The family as in Banu Abd Munaf, Banu Hashim, the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to basically cut off all ties with the converts, people who have embraced Islam and those who are very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even after resorting to physical force, they noticed that it had an adverse effect. Islam was only spreading very quickly. And so now they decided, all the Quraysh people, we need to understand that the Quraysh people were divided into different clans. So you had the Banu Hashim, who were the Bani Abd Munaf, who were closely related to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the rest of the people were Quraysh people but from different tribes. And so all the tribes decided that they will break off relationship with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No trading links with the Muslimin and especially the close family members of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No one is to marry the women of Banu Hashim, Abd Munaf, and none of the Qurayshi people are to give their children to the Bani Abd Munaf and also the Banu Hashim tribe. And this was the document written during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, signed and endorsed by all the senior members of the Qurayshi clan, and it was hung onto the wall of the Kaaba. This was the procedure during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whenever they wanted to highlight something that was very important, they would put that notice in front of the people by displaying it on the walls of Kaaba. And so there was no excuse. Everyone would come in the haram and they would read that no one is to have any kind of interaction with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his family members. Now when we compare the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the modern times that we are living in today, something quite similar. You will find that the powerful nations have a tendency to impose sanctions on other countries. They impose sanctions on other countries. And the same thing, the Qurayshi people decided to impose sanction on Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Break off all your trade links and your routes, and no one is to speak with the Muslimin, no marital relationship, no social relationship, everything to be cut off. What we need to understand as Muslims is that Razzaq is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Rizq is a blessing that comes from Allah. And Allah has distributed rizq. And no matter what the sanctions, a man's reliance should be totally upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That rizq will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no force on the face of this earth that can cut the supply of food reaching to you. Because rizq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Islam wants the Muslimin to be. Very independent. We are not to depend on others. When you look at the setup of Madinatul Munawwara, what was in Madinatul Munawwara? Not carrots and apples. What was in Madinatul Munawwara? The most powerful, nutritious fruits, dates. And any man can live on dates. A few dates a day and alhamdulillah he is alive. And the backbone is straight. The backbone is straight. Wherever you go in Madinatul Munawwara, khajur, date farms, and ajwa, mashallah. Very strong, very energetic. But this was the setup. The people of Medina did not need to have any kind of relationship with even the people of Sham, Syria, or even the people of Makkah. Self-sufficient. Everything was there. Gold, leather, and also khajur, dates, which was so important. And this is something which is very, very important, that as Muslims we need to learn that even if for some reason there are sanctions, our tawakkul and reliance should only be upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whilst under the leadership of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, very successfully the Muslims also passed through this difficult ordeal and this social boycott that was imposed upon the Muslimin. This is something that is very, very important. And also the reason why I mention this sanctions upon the Muslimin is that a lot of the Muslims feel that post-prophethood period, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had never taken any business venture. That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do business. And in fact, sometimes when you look at the writings of some of the historians, it seems that they feel for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to engage in tijarat, when Nabuwat was given to him, when Nabuwat was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was already commissioned with the responsibility of risalat, this was not befitting for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we need to understand that this is erroneously the wrong presentation of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. And sometimes what will happen is that the shaitan makes a person feel as if though Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dependent upon the wealth of Hazrat Abu Bakr, and that he was dependent upon the wealth of Hazrat Uthman. And so we need to make this very clear. Allah's Nabi did not need Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah's Nabi did not need even the wealth of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. On the contrary, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq needed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the contrary, the wealth of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq needed the purification of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi did not need Hazrat Uthman, though he was the son-in-law, and the wealth of Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala. Sometimes that picture is given, that everything was about Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra. And remember when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Khadijatul Kubra, one of the conditions was that all the wealth should be distributed amongst the poor people. And so even whilst marrying Bibi Khadijatul Kubra, we need to understand that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his own business, which is so important, that a man should be completely independent. Completely independent. He should not need to extend his hands to anyone. Subhanallah. But rather, الْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ يَدِ السُّفْلَى, that he should give. That is very important. Now, so what was the business of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What I wish to explain here, my respected brothers, is that when Nabuwat was given, though explicitly Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not engage in tijarat, but in a way Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not also break off all his business affair. And what he did is that he transferred his tijarat and his business affair to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was looking after the business of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something which is very important. Remember, all of the virtues that we see that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq gave wealth, mashallah, Hazrat Usman gave wealth, a lot of the wealth was given for the cause of Islam. It was not personal. We need to understand that. It was not personal, it was for the cause of Islam. That is why a lot of the things that you see in the media, it is cultural, not Islam. A lot of the negativity that you see about Islam and the misportrayal of Islam that you see, that is culture. Some of the manners of how women will even dress up, and even how men will dress up, and even their form of tijarat, and even their form of meeting people might be culture, and it will have nothing to do with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will find some people in some part of the world that the daughter-in-law will do parda with the father-in-law. That the daughter-in-law will do parda with the father-in-law. So this is not Islamic. In fact, this is un-Islamic, and it's got everything to do with culture. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and the wealth that was given, it was given for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the cause of Islam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a lot of wealth. In fact, during the period of the social boycott with the Muslimin, when all the trading was cut off, the links of trade was cut off, it was Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an who would take the goods of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of Makkah and to Syria, and he would bring back a lot of wealth, and that wealth was given back to the Muslimin. And so we need to understand that every hukam and every act of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a lot of wisdom. Now, when we go into the seerah of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and slightly combining that with the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are trying to cover the life of Hazrat Ali during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the life of Hazrat Ali during the khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and the life of Hazrat Ali during the khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and the life of Hazrat Ali during the khilafat of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and then going back to his own khilafat, so that we have a complete understanding of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. In the year 619, that year was considered to be a very painful year for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The uncle of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, passed away, and he was like a father figure for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And perhaps the greatest pain for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the demise of the most beloved to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is Bibi Khadijatul Kubra, who was with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all times. At every thick and thin of the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was there, and she was assisting Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Bibi Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away, and then Abu Talib, who was his supporter, and the main support that was given to him from amongst the tribes of the Quraysh, nobody would come close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family members, because the protection was given from Abu Talib. And when he passed away, things were very difficult. In fact, that year was known as Amul Huzn, the year of great grief for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But subhanallah, this is the sunnah and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if difficulty comes, inshaAllah, there will always be light at the end of the tunnel. There will always be light at the end of the tunnel. Whatever difficulty, inshallah, for a believer, there is Jannah. For a believer, there is Jannah. Whatever the difficulty of this dunya. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was someone who was extremely close and beloved to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to assist Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was uplifted by the gift of Mi'raj, the blessing of Mi'raj. Immediately after the demise of Khadijatul Kubra, and when Abu Talib, the father of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, passed away, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken up into the heavens to witness with his own eyes the celestial creation and the bodies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, to do kalam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to meet the great prophets, Adam alayhi salatu was salam, and on the seventh heaven, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. And then of course this irreparable loss when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost Bibi Khadijatul Kubra. What had happened is that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made nikah with Hazrat Sauda. With Hazrat Sauda. Now Hazrat Sauda was again a very elderly lady. In fact, she was even much older, according to some narrations, than Bibi Khadijatul Kubra. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to her. Why? Because she could look after the children of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, everything was being looked after for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was min janibillah. The business of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken care by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And then the family side and the children of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were looked after by Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala. And now Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again ever ready for the mission of Tawheed, inviting people towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in the year 622, already the people of Yathrib were inviting Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to Madinatul Munawwara. Now Yathrib is the name of Madinatul Munawwara in the Jahiliyyah period. Later on, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the city of Yathrib, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed the name and gave it the name Madina Munawwara. And Madina Munawwara means the city of lights, the city of Noor. That was the name given by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the Ansar were incredible people. The two main tribes living in Madinatul Munawwara were the Aus and Khazraj tribe. And both of the tribes entered the fold of Islam even before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had settled in Madinatul Munawwara. Allahu Akbar. And they were inviting Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we want Madina Munawwara to be the new capital, the new capital for the Muslimin. And they also invited all of the Muhajirin, the companions, to come and settle in Madinatul Munawwara. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was now giving permission slowly to all of the companions to go to Madinatul Munawwara and settle in Madinatul Munawwara. Again, going back to one very important masla about Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha and the nikah with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we also learn that at times there might be an individual who might want to marry a certain individual, and he might have a reason to marry that lady. Just like Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a reason to marry Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala an. And also when a lady passes away, even if that man is aged or quite old, and if he wants to marry a lady, this is completely jais and completely open in Sharia. Completely open in Sharia. Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala an would say that if I knew that my death would come after 3 days and I had not taken anyone, any woman as a wife, and death is in 3 days, I would still make nikah and fulfill the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala an was saying, that it is very important for a man to have a partner in life. and to get married. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had designated for him the best woman after Bibi Khadijatul Kubra, that was Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then later on Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who is the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now, when the month of September came in the year 622, it is said that Makkatul Mukarramah was virtually empty from Muslims. All of the Muslims had left Makkah and had settled in Madinatul Munawwara. The only few people that were in Makkah was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some of the poor slaves that were detained by the kuffar in Makkah and were pressured not to leave the city of Makkatul Mukarramah. But besides the few individuals and Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Makkatul Mukarramah was completely empty. Now when the kuffar noticed that everyone has slowly disappeared and have entered the city of Madinatul Munawwara, for them this was a great shock. And what they decided is to set up the council of war under the leadership of Abu Jahl and Abu Sufyan. And remember, Abu Sufyan later on had embraced Islam, and the daughter of Rasul sallallahu, and the daughter of Abu Sufyan is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so under the leadership of Abu Jahl and Abu Sufyan, what they decided is that to take out the final blow and the final arrow, possibly that this would stop the quick, rapid spreading of Islam in the city of Madinatul Munawwara and also elsewhere in the Arabian Peninsula. So what had happened, a meeting took place in Darun Nadwa, and Darun Nadwa is the council chamber, that is where the kuffar would sit and they would do all their mashwara. And Abu Jahl and Abu Sufyan was there, and all of the kuffar decided that the only solution left now is for us, al-iyazu billah, to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this was the plan of the Quraishi people, that somehow to block Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam from going to Madinatul Munawwara and to assassinate Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And without Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Islam could not spread. This was the plan of the Quraishi people. And of course it was difficult for the Quraishi people that a single man would carry out this mission. They feared, because despite the fact that Banu Hashim, not everyone had embraced Islam, and Abd Munaf, not everybody had embraced Islam, but again they were closely related to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so that bond and brotherhood was still there. And so if anyone was to attack the family of Banu Hashim, Banu Hashim would also retaliate. And so this fear was there, that it is not the job of an individual man. And the plan was that all the different individuals of the Quraishi people were to appoint one young man, and they would form a group, and that group would jointly attack Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So all the individuals from the different clan of the Quraishi people would appoint one young man, and from amongst all of the clans of the Quraishi people, they would form a group, and jointly in the morning when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would come out from the house to go to the haram to perform his Fajr Salah, they would strike at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam with their swords. And this was the plan of the Quraishi people. But subhanallah, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهِ, they make plans, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has a plan. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was already forewarned of the situation, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam already made preparation for this. And he told Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an of what Allah had informed him. And at that time the only man in Makkatul Mukarramah with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And again, this is part of the seerah of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and something extremely important for us to understand, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam called Hazrat Ali in the night, and said to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that the kuffar are outside and this is their plan, I want you to sleep in my bedding. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam took off his kurta and gave the kurta to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam put on his shawl. And again, the bravery of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, scholars have mentioned that very few people would find sleep when you know that there are enemies waiting for you outside. But Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, there was so much sakina with him when he rested on the bedding of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he fell asleep. And subhanallah, he had so much love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he was prepared to sacrifice his own life for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there was every possibility. The Qurayshi people came with the intention, aliyazu billah, to assassinate Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then who was Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala? Out of anger, anything could happen to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was told, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, you carry on and I will rest here and I will look after the Qurayshi people, and whatever happens, I will make sure that they don't follow you and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Now, some of you might be wondering that what is the wisdom for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to appoint Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew of the situation. It was easy for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam just to take Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an and migrate to Madinatul Munawwara, rather than keeping Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an in Makkah and on his bedding. Ulama have mentioned that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was extremely intelligent, and an immediate pursuit would be very dangerous. And here there was a delay of approximately 12 hours. There was a delay of 12 hours because the kuffar were waiting outside the residence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam all night. And so that delay assisted Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this would mean that it would be difficult for the trackers to trace the footprints of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and also Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And so this delay of 12 hours was very, very important. That is why Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala that I want you to rest on the bedding. Now, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam opened the door and he picked up dust, a handful of dust, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited the very famous verses of the Quran. وَجْعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Allah's Nabi prayed this ayat kareema and threw the dust, the handful of dust, in the direction of the kuffar that were there, and it is said that every single one of them became blinded. Everyone became blinded. That is why if you want to marry a lady and she is being very stubborn, that no, I don't want to marry you, then Ahmad, this is what you do. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And Allah will open her heart. And this is the wazifa. Khair, every single one of them was blinded, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam actually walked past them. And a lot of the people in Makkah actually saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam exiting the city of Makkah. And in the morning, when it was time for Fajr, mashallah, at the crack of dawn, a lot of people, a lot of movement outside. Some of the people came and they saw a group of people outside at the residence of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so one man said, an elderly man said to the people, what are you people doing here? And they said that we have a plan and we are waiting for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said to them, you people are hammakoon. You people are hammak. Hammak means bewakuf, fools. That you people are hammakoon, that you people are fools. that I saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the night exiting the city of Makkatul Mukarramah. And you are waiting for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam here? And then some of them decided to peep through and look into the residence of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it was Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala inside with the kurta of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they came inside, barging in, breaking the door of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's residence. And they got hold of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and they said to him, Ya Ali, Aina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? That Ali, tell us, where is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an said, I have no knowledge. I have no knowledge. All knowledge is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told me to sleep here, and that's the only information that I have. Allahu Akbar. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was someone who was very strong. Ulama have mentioned that because he was the son of Abu Talib, again closely related to many of the people that were there, and they decided not to do anything to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. And look at how genius Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, the intelligence. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam took the opposite route in the nights. Rather than traveling towards the north of Makkah, going to Madinatul Munawwara, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went south. 5 miles south towards, from the direction of Makkatul Mukarramah towards Jabal Thawr. And all of the search party was towards the north, trying to block the area that will lead people going to Madinatul Munawwara. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is only 5 miles away in Jabal Thawr, towards the southern part of Makkatul Mukarramah. And also something which is very important, ulama have mentioned that if someone is chasing you and you are a man of Ahl-e Haqq, then it is better not to move around in large groups. It is better not to move around in large groups, but rather to only move around with one companion. But only take one companion. And anybody who follows the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah will save him. If you move around in a large group, eventually people will find you. But if you move around with one individual, and that one individual must be that individual who is the most trustworthy. Most trustworthy. And again, what an important lesson from the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who was the closest to Rasulullah? And what was the title given to Hazrat Abu Bakr? As-Siddiq. As-Siddiq. The most truthful. And Allah selected As-Siddiq, Abu Bakr Siddiq, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Again, important lessons. That if somebody is chasing you and they are from the Ahl-e Batil, and you are from the Ahl-e Haqq, then it is important that you are not in a group, but rather you travel as an individual, and there is a possibility that you will never ever be caught. If only people that are around you are those who you can trust. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam thereafter left Makkatul Mukarramah, and I wish not to repeat the hijrah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but just to mention the hijrah of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an left the city of Makkatul Mukarramah 3 days after the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. It is said that Hazrat Ali would only travel by the night, and during the day he would conceal himself. And he traveled alone. There was nobody with him during the time of hijrah. And some have even mentioned that the important responsibility given to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was the fact that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a lot of goods that were the belongings of the people of Makkah. And during the period of Jahiliyyah, and even after Nabuwat was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, people would deposit their goods to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was known as Al-Amin. He was known as Al-Amin, the most trustworthy. So anything that was expensive, anything that was very important to individuals, any paper documents, or even any goods, then they would come and they would say, Ya Muhammad, or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we want you to look after this for 1 year, or 6 months, or for 2 years. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look after the goods of the people, and it was the duty of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an to return the amanat, the goods, to their owners. And he did so, and then he came to Madinatul Munawwara. Scholars have mentioned that because Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an would travel by the night, and he was walking it from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara, there was a lot of blisters on the feet of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. When he got to Madinatul Munawwara, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina, and he said to some of the people that, see if Ali is here. And then someone said, Ya Rasulullah, Hazrat Ali is here. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, call Ali immediately, I want to meet him. And there was so much blisters on the feet of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an that he could not even walk. And so this was explained to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In honor of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and he went to meet Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and immediately treatment was given to him by the saliva of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his saliva onto the blisters, and ulama have mentioned that instant relief was given to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. This is the hijra of this great man, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. One of the great contributions of this great man whilst living in the city of Makkatul Mukarrama. And inshallah, in the next few sessions, we will continue with the seerah of Hazrat Ali and his contribution in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. Wa akhiru da'wana anil alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك من رزاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من غضبك والنار وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين